resurrection.
I'll keep you apprised of what's going on with Pastor Daniel. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Amen. I do. Doesn't always get answered exactly in the time frame that I wanted. Have you realized that yet? Some things will be answered right away. Other things, not so much. But nevertheless, he hears our prayer. I was listening to this gentleman. He was a big old construction guy. And he was talking about, hey, don't give up praying for family members. He says, my dad prayed for me for 33 years. He said, I even went into his prayer closet one day and said, Dad, quit praying for me. I don't believe in your God. But his dad refused to quit praying for him. And he said, even though it took 33 years, amen. He was talking about, I have given my heart to Jesus Christ. He said, I had 2 years to search out and discover the promises of God and the word of God. And then 2 years after I had given my life to the Lord, he said, my dad went on to be with him. But he did the impossible. Amen. Amen and amen. We thank you, Lord. Don't push your opinion on me. You ever heard that? That's something that you would probably hear today. Have you heard that before? See, it's one of those signs of the times that we live in. Did you know that? Don't push your opinion on me. How many believe that they're still right and wrong? Amen. There's still absolutes. For you and I, obviously, absolute is Jesus. Amen is God. Jesus did die for the sins of the world. Jesus did raise from the dead. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is coming back for us. And those who have put our faith and trust in him have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So those are things that we believe as absolutes. And one thing we got to realize too is an absolute, just a reminder for you. As I began to prepare this, the Lord spoke to my heart that there's some people here, man, you've got wisdom. You know that God has given you wisdom. You know it in your inner being, but somehow it hasn't come forth. Maybe you're an individual who you know God has called you, or you've got purpose, and maybe it's been buried deep down. You know there's more, and the Lord spoke to me to say today, saying that a revelation of the Word of God is what will be the key for that coming forth. Because we also talk about is the Bible true? Is it accurate? Is it 100% accurate? You know, they had the scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so it's interesting when I think in the 40s they found these scrolls, different books of the Bible in caves. And when they discovered them, amongst them, it was 1,000 years older than any transcribed that they had of the Word of God, transcription. It was the book of Isaiah complete. And it was 1,000 years older than anything they had. You know what they found out? That what we had was absolutely accurate to what they found that was 2,000 years old. It was around the time of Christ, or maybe a couple hundred years before Christ, that this Dead Sea Scroll was written. One thing that's amazing about that is that there was, of all the scrolls, and different, some of them were fragments, and some of them were writings that aren't part of our Bible, but to find the book of Isaiah, which prophesies the Christ, I think, more than any other prophetic writing in the Old Testament. Amen? You can count on the Word of God. So one of the signs of the times is being offended by the truth. Did you know that? Amen? Have you ever been offended by the truth? I have. I have, right? I've been offended by the truth. And so I just want to talk. I want to go to John 8:31. Through 33, and this is Jesus. And so he's talking to a group of the Jews there in Israel, and he says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. I've come to realize people who don't want to continue in his word, or they kind of brush it off to the side. Maybe it's secondary, or it's part of your life. Or yes, I read the word, but it's not of utmost importance and precious to you. You can be open to deception. Did you know that? And so in this day and age, as God is moving, one thing the Lord has made it clear for my heart, for my family, and I think it'll be for individuals that come to the Lord, is the word of God will take precedent in your life. Number one source of all truth. See, some of those things where you become frustrated and say, God, I know you have more for me. I know there's more that you want me to be involved in, is serving you and being a part of your kingdom as far as what God has for you. The Lord has spoke to my heart saying, one of the things that can keep people back is not having a respect for the word of God. And we know that God does powerful things as far as his Holy Spirit. But if chasing after just displays of the Holy Spirit and not making the word of God your priority, you're open for deception. You're open. Did you know that? I'm telling you, it's true. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus is saying, even to his church today, if you continue in my word. Do you love his word? Amen. It says, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, we're always, as we're walking with him, as he continues to reveal his goodness, his character, who he is in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, he continues to reveal truth. Amen? And so you have to ask, saying, Lord, what truth is it that you want to reveal in my life today? See, we're all in different places, are we not? But there's still truth that God wants to reveal in our lives through the unction of the Holy Spirit, amen, through the inspired word of God that God wants to reveal to you today and for this week, for this time in your life. It'll come through the word of God. Because he says, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's areas in our lives, as you may be saying, Lord, when are you going to help me in this area? I'm telling you today, the Lord is probably saying, my answer in that area is revealed in the word of God. I want to show you some truth. I want to reveal some things to you. And man, that's a good thing. It's called revelation of his word. Amen. Amen and amen. They took offense to this, said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Then they answered him. This is what they said to Jesus. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? See, being free is not because you're an American citizen, right? Land of the free, home of the brave. See, your citizenship of where you live does not mean you're free. You know, when I was younger, part of freedom and knowing Christ was I was an American citizen. So people say, hey, do you know Jesus? Of course I do. I live in America. I've been going to Awanas my whole life. You guys, have any of you heard of Awana? But we don't live in a time where we can say, hey, we're children of the United States. Of course I'm free. We're not in a time like that right now. So people will give different things and say, of course I'm free. What do you mean? Don't you know what I've accomplished? Don't you know what God, you know, or what I've done or what God's done in my life or this my situation? It's just fine. How can you say that I'm not free? So that's what they were saying to Jesus in this situation. Then it continues a little bit in verse 36. It says, so if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. Let me ask you this morning, does his word have place in you? Amen. The power of God's word in our life. We'll talk about the engrafted word. The power when we have a generation that is shunning it. Amen. What is needed for revival is an embracing of truth, which is only by the word of God. Amen. Let me just say it again. Certain things that you are asking the Lord to do in your life to reveal to you is in the word of God. He wants to reveal it. As he reveals the truth of the word of God of who he is to you, what he's done for you, what he wants to do for you, all this wisdom that you have inside will begin to unlock and come forth in truth, in principles, in blessing, in your life. The Word of God, the power of the written Word. Amen. Well, not just the power of the written Word, because He is the Word. Amen. Let's continue a little bit. These are, I just want to say a couple of scriptures are not up there. They answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. And you remember, we've read about Father Abraham. Have you read Abraham in Genesis, how he put his trust in God? How God credited him righteousness for putting his trust. And even in his struggles and the things that were going on, that through that time period that he was waiting for the promise of his son, he never gave up. He left his homeland. Amen. Was like a nomad. Kept putting his trust in the Lord to the point that even when God said, I want you to sacrifice your only son, Isaac, right? Was it Isaac? That he said, I'm willing to do it because I know you'll raise him from the dead. So the results of faith, putting your trust in God, the deeds are everything I have, Lord, belongs to you. The thing I told you a couple weeks that I picked up from another individual that I like, it's like, Lord, I'm yours to command. Lord, I belong to you. Lord, I'm yours to command. And that comes as we have an understanding, we'll talk about it, of the Word of God, the power of Jesus, who is the Word of God. And then the next word, then another verse was, but because Jesus said, but because I say the truth, you do not believe me. See, he was the truth. And he was the Son of God. He was God. Even as he was speaking these things. And mind you, he started out this by saying Jesus was talking to those who believed him. So we're talking about that. They said they believed. They probably saw the miracles. They saw the things that God was doing. And then as he began to declare truth, all of a sudden it went from we believe you to not believing. He said, but because I say the truth, you do not believe me. Father, thank you again for a heart that is receptive to truth. Amen. The Lord, I think, keeps hitting on this because we're living a day and age of deception. And how are we going to be free from deception? How are we going to live in the truth that is an understanding of the Word of God? No other way. No other way. But an increased revelation and understanding of God's love through his word. But because I say the truth, you do not believe. And then we have this scripture, John 8, 57 and 59. This is how it ends up. They went from starting to believe him. We saw the miracles. This is amazing to these believers. This is how this conversation ends. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham. Because he was talking about before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and left the temple grounds. So they went from believing this nice young man doing miracles, raising the dead. But when he started speaking the truth about who he was, when he started shaking those things that they believed, they went from believing him to trying to kill him. Amen. Amen. The truth. They believed him, but not in him. They believed him, but not in him. Point number one is they believed him, but not in him. They believed what he did, but they did not believe who he was. Amen. Aren't you glad here today that you believe who he is? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The God of Abraham is my God. The God of Isaac is my God. The God of Jacob is my God. How about you? They believed as he began to speak the truth. They went from this is no longer feeling good. The goosebumps are no longer here. What he's saying, we don't resist. You know, the thing about growing in the Lord is you don't resist truth, right? Truth from the Word of God. You know, the truth of the Word of God brings joy, brings conviction. It can bring anger. It can upset you. That's okay, amen? But it's how you respond. It's what you do with it. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. James starts out by saying in verse 21 here, James 1, 21 through 25, he says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, means repenting, amen? Change of repenting and turning and going towards Christ, amen? Filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. That's what it says, receive the word implanted. We've talked about before, the word is like seed. So if something, where do you plant something? You plant something in what? In soil. Your heart is, we've said it before, your heart is soil. You know, through the years since you were young, there's been many things planted in your heart. When you give your life to Jesus Christ and you get a new spirit, you get this new heart, then you understand that it's your responsibility. What am I allowing to be planted in the soil of my heart? What's planted in the soil of your heart will dictate where your life goes. I don't care if you declare you're a Christian. Doesn't matter what you declare. I will know, everybody in the world will know what's been planted in your heart by what comes out of your mouth and your actions. The wonderful thing is regardless of what's happened in the past, the Holy Spirit can heal it, and then you determine what you're going to put in your heart, amen, which is the truth of the Word of God, which will change you day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, until you have a crop full of the fruit, which is His love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those fruits of the Spirit, and it all starts by what you're planting in your heart. If sometimes when you have all the bad fruit and the bad weeds, it's not easy, is it? You can have bad days. You can have bad weeks. May I dare say you can have bad months. But just know, as you continue to be around the people of God, as you continue to allow your heart to have seed planted in it that are truths of the Word of God, those things will be choked out by the power of the Word of God, Jesus. It has to be truth. You have to say, Lord, I want truth. You don't change in a weekend, although there can be powerful changes. But man, you're only going to reap what you sow. You're only going to reap what you sow. And so this sowing begins with what you're allowing into your heart. Hallelujah. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who has looked intently at the law of freedom, amen, and has continued in it. Remember, Jesus says, continue in me. Continue in me. That's, man, to continue whatever, no matter what struggle's going on in the world, the fears that we see, continue in him. May I say by faith, continue in him. Continue to trust him. Continue to believe the promises of God. Continue to do what you're doing. But continue in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an active doer. This person will be blessed in all that he does. So number two, God wants you blessed in what you do. And then when it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word, let me just say this, Jesus is the word. You know, if we're not careful, we can read that, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more, as we see that and say, okay, I got to be a doer. Let me get my list of all the doing. Well, let me just remind you that Jesus is the word. See, the letter kills, the law, the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. So we have to look at it in the new covenant through the Spirit of love, through the Spirit of Christ. Amen, because you can say, be a doer of the word, and boy, you can start, like I said, depending on your background, your type of personality, you can start making a list and say, I got to get busy. And there is an aspect of that for sure. But it first comes through realizing that doer of the word, well, who's the word? It's a living person, Jesus. See, the Word became flesh, it says in John chapter 1, and dwelt among us. The Word God became flesh. And so it's not a letter. If you just look at it as a letter, as just a list of what you got to do. You'll never see the intent and the heart of a loving Savior who loved you, who takes this word and makes it life to you if you're willing to receive it. He'll reveal his love and his mercy and his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his long-suffering. All those things that we say God demands from us is actually what he gives us because he is the Word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Word. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal yourself. So we're talking about the Word. He is the Word. So he reveals by the Holy Spirit these things that we read on your tablet or in your paper Bible. Lord, he makes them life upon tablets of flesh, hearts of flesh, making them alive, making them revelation of who he is, and it becomes part of us. So let's continue on this thing about being a doer of the word. God wants you blessed, number two, in what you do. But prove yourselves doers of the word. And then I mentioned that Jesus is the word. Hallelujah. I want to read this in the Passion Translation, because this is where I was going to go anyway with how I believe this is interpreted for you and I. The Passion Translation, first James 1 again. It says, if you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. See, when you look at the mirror of the word in this new covenant, you see what God's love for you. You see purpose for you. You see what he wants you to be. You see the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you look at those things, you say, this is what you think about me. But then we can walk away from it and we forget who we are in the Lord. We don't look in that perfect law of liberty, the perfect word. I now look at the word of God and I see it in a whole different light. Amen. I say, remember I've talked about, I'll take that promise. Lord, thank you for that righteousness that you're revealing to me. Thank you for those truths that belong to me. So I look at those mirrors of who Jesus is, and because of the finished work of the cross, I say, I am that person too, because all my sins were hung on a tree. Amen. So those promises belong to me. The word of God is a mirror of who God says you are if you'll receive it by faith, and you will grow into it. And then the doing will take care of itself. I promise you that. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. I tell you, it's the enemy that wants you to forget who you are. It's not God. Man, he paid a high price for you and I. He paid the ultimate price. So when we look at the mirror and see the perfect law of liberty and those things not written on stone anymore, but written, they become written on our hearts day after day, week after week, month after month, we continue to look at those truths of who we are in Christ. And it begins to give us the confidence and the strength to be exactly who God wants us to be. I reject this thing of being a doer of the word. Just give me a list of things, and if you do that, you're righteous. Well, we're just back to the beginning. But when you look at a mirror, then out of your heart, without any pastor having to tell you what I got to do, you just do it. It's who you are. You help others. You bless others. Nobody knows about it. You don't have to parade it. You begin to do exactly what the word of God says to do. As you look at that and say, that's Jesus' perfection, and I am perfect through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's good news, amen? Gives you confidence. Looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into that mirror of the word, that's amazing. See, I walk away and I can have some struggles. Then I come back to the truth. It encourages me to get up again and go forward in his strength and his power. Isn't that amazing? After a bad day, after a bad week, after a bad month, I come back to that perfect law of liberty. Look into that and say, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your promises. And what I do is I receive them. I say, thank you, Lord, for your correction from the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the truth. But see, if you think that the word of God is maybe foolish, or you think that, oh, I can take it or leave it, and you claim Christ, then you are completely open for deception, and you will struggle your entire walk of faith until you understand the power of the perfect law of liberty, and you begin to, what, take a part of it, looking in that perfect mirror of the word of God, claiming those promises, growing in him. You will continue to struggle. I don't care for how many movements of God you look for. I don't care what experiences you look for in the Holy Spirit, which are true. If you don't believe, this isn't the priority, if the word of God is not the foundation, you'll just struggle. Amen. I've said it before, but when the perfect law of liberty is what you come to and get your strength, then all those things the Holy Spirit reveals, his righteousness, his revelations, amen, his powers, his things that he shows you in the spiritual realm, amen, are all rooted and grounded in the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The word is a mirror. Forget. The mirror of the mirror. James 1:25, but then it says, but those who set their gaze deeply, listen to this. This is wonderful. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. Amen. Do you have ears to hear? Amen. This is the word of God like seed on your heart. Amen. Hopefully you're not an individual who says, I don't need to hear that. He's always wanting to show us things. You know, what are you gazing at? His word brings inspired freedom. Let me just say, his word brings inspired freedom. Let me say this, that the word of God, you can study it first thing in the morning. You can study at night. You can study it on your phone at lunch. You know, you could be waiting somewhere, and you can, sometimes I'll just take and just start looking at some scriptures. You can be taken in our lives now, and with technology, you could be taken in his word at any time. And say, I don't look at it and say, okay, God, let me please you. I take it to say, Lord, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for showing me things of your goodness. That's why I read it. What are you gazing at? The royal law. Then it says in the royal law of James 2:12-13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And if you go in the context there, you'll see that different people come into this church in Jerusalem, and they say, okay, you've got money, you sit over here. Oh, you don't have any money, you get sit in the back over there. We don't want to see you. And so what it says, what are you doing? It says you're being judges. It says you're being judges of the law. And then he says in there, says, if you've offended in one point, you've offended the whole law. See that law of freedom, God's love, receiving God's love, giving God's love. That is the royal law of liberty. Receiving God's love, giving God's love. Receiving his love, giving his love. Thank you, Lord. Receiving it and giving it. And then when he says all this, this is what he says. This is the next thing he says. If someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard his words, then his heart is drifting away and his religion is shallow and empty. So he says all of that, and then he stops. We've talked about it a lot. You've heard that saying, hung by your tongue. If you want to know where you're at, just, you know, tape record yourself talking for a day, then come back and listen to it. You can tell where your heart is then. You really can, right? Or what you don't say. Or maybe you're the other kind that when you're upset about things, you just don't say anything then, right? You just ignore. So he says all that, and he says, be careful, because what, you know, we're always sowing words to other people or ourselves. And that's important, what we say to our kids, our spouse, our family, making sure to, you know, sowing the things from the Word of God, seeds, amen, that are powerful. If someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard His words, man, words are so powerful. I know sometimes people have taken it out of context, but it still remains the most powerful lesson I've learned in the last 10 years is the power of the tongue. The fruit of your lips, you're going to eat from it, it says in Proverbs, right? What you're saying, the declarations you're making, they are powerful. Amen? And if you don't believe in the power of God's word, then you end up saying things that either don't matter, amen, or don't have an effect. So the power of His word. His word revives. We are Americans, amen? So sometimes we think, well, I don't need any revival. I don't know about you, but I still need some revival in my heart, amen? I'm praying for God to bring a revival. But the thing that the Lord has spoken to me powerfully, He says, it will not come if there is not, amen, an honor for the Word of God. See, when Jesus, even when He's doing His miracles, what was He kept declaring and speaking? The Word of God. Most of them became offended. So my question to you, does the Word of God offend you? And how you can tell, say, Lord, what do I think of the Word? Does it have any place in my life? The Word of God. Do I spend any time in Your Word? Amen. Psalms 119, it says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Are you looking for a light and a path where you don't stumble? It's from the Word of God, the power of His Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep Your righteous judgments, Your truths. And then it says, I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, Lord, according to Your word. Man, if you're in some affliction, let me just tell you, the Word of God will revive you. Did you know that? The power of the Word will revive you. It says it right here, I'm afflicted. Let Your word revive me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll say it again. There are those here who have been asking God for a breakthrough. You know that God has given you a good mind. You know God's given you a good mind. Others may not think so, but you know what deep inside what God has placed there. But there are areas of deception still holding you down. It's the Word of God that will set you free, those truths. Proverbs 24 and 5, as Gina comes to the piano, the pianist. It says, the lazy one does not plow after the autumn. Now, what is our heart again? Soil, right? For seed. The lazy one does not plow after the autumn. So he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Why do I say that? Because the next verse, it says, a plan in the heart of a person is like deep water, but a person of understanding draws it out. Those true scriptures today, man, as you're planting the Word of God, as you're trusting Him, amen, as you're learning about the Lord Jesus, as we continue to grow, we continue to plant, man, in those times where we need God to reveal things to us. It says that from the inner depths of the man, those things come. But I'm telling you, if there's nothing been planted, there's nothing to draw upon. Did you know that? So many times, if you know the scriptures and God has spoke to your heart, what's He do? In a time of need or wisdom, what comes forth is the Word of God. He'll share with something, a truth of the scripture. But if nothing's been planted, especially those new in the Lord, when you need to draw from something, you can't draw on something that hasn't been planted. The lazy one does not plow after the autumn. So he begs during the harvest and has nothing. I don't want to be one of those. How about you? Lord, begin. Lord, thank You in Your church again. Planting the truths of the Word of God through the power. So, see, the Bible's not a list of do's and don'ts. Jesus is the Word. The Holy Spirit, when you know Him, is in your heart. That Word becomes life. is like honey on your lips. And then when things face you, when the enemy comes against you, what did Jesus do when the enemy came against him? Did he say, let's have a prayer meeting? Nothing wrong with prayer meetings. He didn't say, let's have a prayer meeting. He said, it is written. So out of his soul, out of who he was, when the enemy came against him, when Satan came against him, he used the word of God. If it was required by Jesus, it's certainly going to be something that I want to follow in the footsteps. Amen. The lazy one does not plow after the autumn. Look, you can just, this is the thing with the word is, like I said, you can have different times. Some people like to have a specific time. Other people could be evening, lunchtime. But I would say this, Lord, let your word have priority in our lives in America once again. Father, may the word of God become dusted off on the shelves. May it become what it is, life, strength. May we hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Lord, may the word of God, may it be revealed in our lives. Lord, may we continue to plant those things in our lives from the word of God. Father God, that feeds our families. Father God, that feeds, Father God, those around us, that feeds our lives in the time of need. Hallelujah. Amen. Number six, plant the seed of the word, the royal law of love. And God will draw out wisdom in your life. See, the word of God is not an opinion, amen, it's the truth. So pursue it and allow the word to be engrafted and rescue you out of every situation in life. Here's what I come to realize when there's struggles and everything, I've turned to realize, say, God, speak to my heart. And it's not all, you know, it's not always just the word of God. It can be through prophecy, someone giving me a word. But I know whether it's true or not because of what's been planted in me already. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for a continued harvest of the word of God in our lives. Amen. So I say, I'm talking to myself, what am I listening to? Amen. What am I looking at? What's being planted in me? And in those things, you just say, Lord, help me. Lord, you may be in an area, say, Lord, I repent. Help me with those areas. Let me hunger and thirst for your word. What did Jesus do when he came up on this, when he first revealed himself? He went in that synagogue, and what did he do? He pulled out a scribe, the scroll of Isaiah and read chapter 60. He read about himself. When God came on the scene, he read the word of God. Can you stand up with me? Are you still awake out there? I'm jumping up because I see some sleepy people. Do you love the Holy Spirit in the life that's working in your life? The most powerful way he works in your life is a revealing of the word of God, revelation and truth that will not allow you to be deceived in a time which truth is determined by you. It's subjective, isn't it? It's whatever you want to believe, but we know this is the truth. This is the only thing that changes a life. It's the only thing that gets us out of struggles as we believe in the truth of the word of God. So all I can say is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for the planting, Father God, of continued planting of the word of God in our hearts, Father God, revealing truth in due season, just as Jesus used it, Father God, to rebuke the enemy. So, Father God, thank you for the word of God in our lives, rebuking the enemy, Father God, as we walk in your blessings, as we share the blessings of God to everybody else. Father, as we reveal the truth, some people, Father God, are going to reject it. Others are going to be drawn by it, Father God. But it is the truth of your word. And so, Lord, we bless you and we thank you for that. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you. As you begin to pursue truth, those things that God's already placed in your life will come forth. But we got to pursue the truth. As you pursue the truth, all those things already in you will come out. That is a true word today, I believe, from the Lord. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Father, thank you for increased hunger in your body in this day and this hour. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your power in our lives, Father God. Thank you, Father God, those that are sick, Lord, thank you for healing the sick. Lord, we thank you that your word says, amen, by your stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 says that you took your sick, our sickness upon you. So, Father, we believe in your word and we declare wholeness, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you that the word that you had the crown of thorns on your head, Father God. Father God, to break, Father, those things over our mind that keep us in confusion. Your word says it, Lord. I believe it. I declare it. So I receive it in Jesus' name. Father God, your word says that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Father God, it may look one way, but your word says, when I put my trust in you, Father God, you will deliver me, Father God, from every trial, every temptation, because your word declares it. Therefore, I believe it, and I shall receive and see the faithfulness of God. Do you believe that today? I said, do you believe that today? Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for that today, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you for your faithfulness, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your liberty. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your joy. Father God, your word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father God, we thank you. There's no set of circumstances, Father God, that you cannot deliver, Father God, from. Lord, there's no prayer you cannot answer. Father God, there's nobody so lost that you cannot restore them. So we believe that, Father, because your word declares it, and we will believe the word of God. Hallelujah, Lord. We will stand on the word of God by faith and see you do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Abraham believed what God said, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That is me and yours blueprint, is to believe the word of God. Hallelujah. And that is our righteousness today. It changes a life permanently. Hallelujah. And it comes through the word of God in Jesus, who was the word, became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank you for that life from the word. So we declare that and speak that. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer today, would you please?